Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, we continue our study. Today it is, of course, Jesus is better. Better than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 is where we'll begin reading. Once you arrive there, stand with me as we read from the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, it says, having become so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we rejoice in the salvation provided through Jesus. And now, Lord, as we examine the Scripture, I pray that you will help our understanding. Open our minds and our hearts to your Word. Speak to us, Lord, through your Word. And I pray that you will draw everyone present that's listening to this message, even at home today, those who are watching via the internet. I pray that you'll draw all men to you. And that you will speak to the hearts of every hearer, supplying their spiritual need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the theme of the book of Hebrews is found in verses 1 and 2 when it says, God at various times and in various ways has spoken in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now, I want you to stop right there just for a minute so you can get this, the theme, the idea of this whole book. Okay? The point is, Jesus in the past spoke by prophets. That's how men knew or heard from God. But not anymore. These days, these last days, and we are living in the last days. If you want to know what God has to say, you look through Jesus. Okay? Plain and simple. So the idea here of this entire book is God speaking to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now it's written, and that's why it's called Hebrews, it's written to Jews. And one of the things that, ways that the Jews had a problem, they had a problem with angels. Some of them placed angels on too high of a pedestal. Even worshipped angels. There were those Jews who, according to history, felt that the Archangel Michael was in more importance and more value than the Messiah himself. Now, as I look at you and consider where we are today, I don't want to preach to the choir, so I want to ask you a question. You know Jesus is greater than angels, right? Okay, good. So I'm not going to approach it from that standpoint. I'll remind you along the way of why he says what he does. But I want to remind you, I want to tell you or share with you what this means to you. Okay? This is God speaking his message to you through Jesus Christ. And it's just as real as if you were sitting literally in the presence of God and he was speaking directly to you. The question comes to mind, what is God want me to hear? What is God saying? Number one, God is saying that Jesus is the Son of God. Period. Okay? Verse 5, we're told, you are my son, and this is God speaking to his son Jesus. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. And then the rest of that verse, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Understand the significance of those two statements. Now, excuse me. Again, while the angels, you know, and he's trying to get them to view, no angel has ever been given this position. You realize that no angel has ever been called the Son of God, right? Book of Job, they're referred to as sons of God, but no angel has ever been called the Son of God. And Jesus being declared the Son of God, it puts Jesus in a level of importance that has never been reached nor ever will be reached by any other created being. Being Jesus the Son of God, it entitles him to a relationship with his Father that can't be obtained by anyone else. And because of the sonship of Jesus Christ, that puts us as believers in a special relationship with the Father. Now, I want to explain this, okay? And what we're trying to get across. And we'll do it by example, right? We all love children. Good. I'm glad we love children. And I want to tell you something. I look at your children today, and I love your kids. I do. They're very special. And you say, Brother Doug, I know my child is special. Okay. But they are. And however, as much as I love your children, when I look at my children and I say, that's my son, that's my daughter, it puts my children on a different level of importance than other children. You understand? Okay? I mean, it's the nature of a parent and child relationship. You have a special bond, a special love for your children that you can't muster for anyone else. Okay? Even though you love other children. Now, and when I say, that's my son, we're linked together by a title, an official relationship. But if I were to say, I will be to him a father, and he will be my son, that elevates it not only from he's my official son or daughter to, yes, he's my official son and daughter, but I have a relationship with him that I can have with no other. Okay? You see, even though I love your children, you know I can't be a father to your child, right? That's the that's your children's position, right? Same here. My children are special to me, and I have a father relationship with my children. Now I want to explain how that applies here. As you look, as God says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Yes. Okay? He's officially the Son of God, but when God says, I will be your father and you will be my son, that elevates it to a close personal bond between God the Father and God the Son. And it goes a step farther. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I have placed my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, I am also a child of God. You see, here's where it gets real special. My children are special. I have a fatherly love for them, a God-given fatherly love for them. But because they are my children, and I will be a father to them, and they will be children to me, or my son to me, it opens the door for a new, even better love that you can't imagine. You see, my children at this point in their life have kids. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Because my children have kids, they are brought into a relationship with me that they could not have had otherwise. I am to the children of my children, I'm Pops. And that's a wonderful title. I love it. Okay? I absolutely love it. And I have time with those kids that I can never have with anyone else because of that special relationship. When God says, "This is my son," it establishes the relationship. When He says, "This, I'll be His father and He'll be my son," it establishes the relationship between them. But it goes a step farther because we have been born again into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We too have been brought into the family of God, and we have a relationship with God the Father that can be obtained no other way except through Jesus Christ. Any religion that'll tell you we're all trying to get the same place, avoid like the plague. If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind, then you want to stay away from that religion. As He says, Jesus is the Son of God. This is Jesus, this is God's message to you. You've been given an avenue to the Father that you would never have had any other way. Romans 8:60. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You see, because of who Jesus is, it makes me special too as His child. Number two, second thing God wants you to hear and to know is that Jesus is righteous. More specifically, He is a righteous ruler. Look, we're going to skip down. We're going to skip over verse 6 and 7 for now, and we'll come back to that at the end, okay? We're going to skip down to verse 8. Your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than all your companions. Your throne is forever, and your scepter, a scepter of righteousness. Listen, Jesus was better than the angels and is better than the angels because none of the angels had ever been designated the ruler of the kingdom of God. That's who Jesus is. And the significance for that to us is that Jesus will rule for all of eternity. And the even greater significance about Jesus ruling is that He's right. And when He rules, He will rule in righteousness. You understand that word righteousness simply means to be right? Don't you like to be right? Bless your heart. I love to be right. I love knowing I'm right. I love being led with someone whom I know is right. And that's the point here of when it says, Jesus, your throne is forever and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You're still on your throne, Lord Jesus, and you always will be. I look forward. Don't you look forward to that day when Jesus rules and reigns in righteousness once again upon this earth? He's coming again. I love Revelation 19:16 when Jesus comes on his white horse and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine when the sky opens up and Jesus, followed by the armies of heaven, is coming back to establish and take what's rightfully His because He created it. He's coming back to this earth to rule and to reign in righteousness. What a day that will be. And look. He says, you have anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Isn't the meaning of that is lost in translation? Okay, that word is translated more than your companions. We're not going to do a big Greek lesson, but it's better translated this. Not only has Jesus been anointed with the oil of gladness, but also, those who in faith have partnered with Jesus enjoy that same oil of gladness. All right? As a matter of fact, it should read this way. You have been anointed with the oil of extreme gladness with the companions of you. That word more should be with. The point is not that... Well, the point is, those companions who are associated with Jesus have a joy. Do you have that joy? You see, not only has Jesus been anointed with that oil of gladness, but those who have partnered with Jesus have been anointed with that same oil. Grab a hold of this. When Jesus rules in righteousness, when Jesus establishes His throne upon this earth, there will not be a vote. It will not be a democracy. There will not be ungodly politicians making decisions for you. There will be no committees, no special interests. There will be no lobbyists. But every decree that comes from Jesus Christ as He sets upon His throne will be in righteousness, and it will be correct according to the Word of God. No more will we be worried about the bad decisions that our government is making. Now, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. I look forward to that day when I see the rule of Jesus. I'll never have to question, do you really think you're right about the decision you're making, Jesus? Never. Why? Because he's got a slogan. Every good politician has a slogan, right? Just like Trump's slogan is, make America great again. Jesus' slogan is, I love righteousness and hate lawlessness. That's a good slogan, isn't it? Oh, as I think about that, you know, I'm encouraged. Because I know when Jesus returns on that white horse of Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, when He returns, the armies of heaven are coming with Him. And guess who that concludes? That includes me and every child of God that have been waiting to come and rule on this earth. Folks, better days are coming. Better days are coming. And it's all because Jesus is better. He's better than the government that we have today. He's better than any family relationship you can have today. He's better than any church or associational affiliation you can have today. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. But if you have Jesus, you have everything that you'll ever need. Jesus is better. Jesus. Then finally, Jesus, from the foundation to the finish. You realize that Jesus was the one who laid the foundation. Verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. You realize, of course, that it was Jesus that created everything that we know of today. As I look at, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been fighting to stay upbeat here lately. Do y'all have the same problem? Sometimes it's a fight more than others. And it's not the church. It is everything going on. You know? You know what I mean? I've had to limit my news watching time. I have to limit a lot of things anymore because, you know, you get overwhelmed. And like I say, it's not people that's my problem right now. It's what's going on. But you know what? I'm reminded. Jesus is still on His throne. Things are not falling apart. They're falling in place. Jesus, from the very beginning, when God spoke, when Jesus first said, "Let there be light," and there was light, there was a plan. Okay? There was a plan when Jesus spoke and separated the dry land from the water. There was a plan. When Jesus spoke and the grass and the trees came forth out of the earth, there was a plan. When Jesus hung the sun, the moon, and the stars, there was a plan. When Jesus created the fish of the sea, and there was a plan. When Jesus formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul, there was a plan. And that plan, are you listening to me? That plan is still intact. Nothing has changed. Right? So as I've had to remind myself, and I told you maybe I need these messages more than you do, but I've reminded myself, Jesus Christ was there in the beginning, and He'll be there when it's all over. And He will still be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Listen, let me encourage you today. We look at the United States of America. Please don't get me wrong. I love our country. I'm very patriotic. But we've got problems. I'm reminded, the one thing constant to every nation that has risen to power in the world has been that nation fell. Go ahead, Brother Doug. Encourage. The same thing's going to happen to the United States of America. We'll fall. Are you encouraged yet? When will that fall come? I don't know. But I know this. We're moving toward a one world government. A one world economy. And we're moving fast. Okay? Things are in the works. And watch the economic reset set for 1st of 2021. Okay? You watch as the United States of America continues to decline. Ultimately, what we're going to wind up with is a one world economy. And that world economy will have to be ruled by a one world government. That one world government will be set to usher in or welcome the reign of the Antichrist that's coming. But here's what I know. Their ultimate end, the end of old Satan, the end of all unrighteousness, the end of all ungodly government, their ultimate end will be their failure. And when it's all said and done, yes, we've got to, we're going to see that world government arise. We're going to see, we'll be raptured. Then the world will have to go through that 7-year tribulation period. Then after that, there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then after that, we will see the new heaven and the new earth descending. And beloved, from that point forward, there be no more unrighteousness. Satan will never again be released upon this earth. Satan will never again wreak havoc with families. Satan will never again tear up marriages. Satan will never again destroy governments. But Jesus Christ will be on His throne. I love Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Beloved, when everything else has passed away, there will still be Jesus. That's why Jesus is better. better than anything else you can put your trust into. Here's where I want to bring you today. All right? Let's go back to verse 6. I said we'd come back to momentarily. Verse 6 says, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" Here's another one that's it's kind of tricky in translation, and I'm going to give it to you, and you can do what you want to with it. But it says, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world," that could be translated two different ways. It could be translated "but again" or "and again," like it was just prior to this in the verse 5, "and again." It could be translated that way when it says "and again," when he brings the firstborn into the world. Meaning, when Jesus came the first time. Now grab this. When Jesus came the first time, do you remember what happened? Remember when they made the announcement to the shepherds? The shepherds were in the field. The angels appeared and told of the announcement, and the whole army, the whole host of heaven appeared, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill to men." What were they doing? They were worshiping Jesus. Now, it can be translated that way, but it can also be translated "for in the second coming," when he comes again, which is true. Now listen, I want to share this with you. Jesus is coming back. Okay? Jesus is coming back. Every knee will bow. Romans 14:11. "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will confess to God.'" Here's the thing. You're going to bow to Jesus one of these days. See, you can bow to a lot of things today. You can bow to money. You can bow to hobbies. You can bow to the way you make your living. You can worship whatever you want to. But I want to tell you what. One of these days, you're going to bend that knee to Jesus. Because every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The problem is, you can wait too late. You see, if you wait until after you've died, you can bow and you will bow in the presence of God, but it'll be too late. And you'll hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." "Oh, but Lord, I was the best student ever." "Depart from me, I never knew you." "Oh, but Lord, I was the president of every civil organization, the Kiwanis and the Lions and all the other clubs that we have. And oh, I raised money for children. I helped the needy." And you'll hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You may say, "Lord, I was in government. I was a senator. I was a representative." You'll still hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because you never bowed the knee to give Jesus His rightful place as the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind. That's why I bring you to this point today. You see, Jesus came the first time. He came as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for your sin because you've sinned. "Oh, Brother Doug, I'm not so bad." Yes, you are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Period. That includes me. The good news is, Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He came to that the world through Him might be saved. You see, what you don't understand is, according to the book of John chapter 1, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came because you're already condemned by your sin. Have you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Have you called out to Him for salvation? "Brother Doug, how do I do that?" Very simply. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry. Today, you've got to make a choice. You can bow
and declare Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Or you can walk out of here lost and wait till you stand before Him. And you'll bow at that time. But it'll be too late. Listen, my friends, I just want you to understand, we're living in some very trying times right now. It sure does give you a great peace of mind when you know how it's going to end. It's going to end with Jesus. It started with Jesus, and it'll end with Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with that information? Right now, you're thinking, Brother Doug, someday I may be saved, but you know, not today. What you're doing, you say it's better to walk out of here lost than it is to come be saved. Okay? And it's not. Brother Doug, when I get my life cleaned up, I'll be saved. Really? You're at this point in your life and you hadn't got your life cleaned up now. What makes you think in the next month, 2 months, or 10 years you'll get it cleaned up? You can't do it. Only Jesus can make you a new creation. Okay? Don't put it off. It's not better to wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Our Father in heaven, I pray that You will move freely in our congregation this morning. And those who are in this service who are not saved, I pray that You'll convict them of their sin, so much so that they'll not be able to remain in their pew. They'll step out and they'll call upon You and walk down this aisle and confess You, making You the Lord of their life. Lord, we rejoice that even in trying and sometimes discouraging times, we're reminded that Lord, You win. You were here, You were standing when it started, and You'll be standing when it ends. And Lord, for that peace of mind, we rejoice. Father, I pray that we will all take hold of the truth that You are the best of the best. That we love You with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And that You take absolute first place in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.